Hey, there is Stacey St. Clair from the Tribune who has been in Kenosha following the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. I saw the judge spoke some harsh words moments ago. Stacey, fill us in. What's the latest?
So a man yesterday was pulled over by Kenosha police who they suspected him that he was taking pictures of the jurors. The jurors arrive each day in a bus from a different location. The bus has its windows covered, so as the jury then drives to the courthouse, it doesn't see the signs or the protests that are going on outside it. Police suspected this person was following the bus, according to the judge, and pulled him over for running a red light. The man, according to the judge again, identified himself as an MSNBC employee and gave the name of a boss in New York that he reported to. The judge said that the facts have not been borne out to say whether or not this man was an MSNBC employee, but he is banning MSNBC from the trial coverage. Anyway, from the courthouse, at least. They can talk about it all they want outside, but they can't come in the courthouse.
Can't come into the courthouse. They did not ban the likes of you or Julian Cruz or anybody else.
I am still here as of 11:45. I am still out in the courthouse.
You know, when I saw him speaking, I thought, oh, I wonder if he's finally addressing some of the protestations by the defense, trying to get the whole case thrown out. He's not doing that, huh?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't done that today. I think what he's first of all, he has to give the prosecution a chance to respond in writing. It was a pretty intense allegation, very heavy allegation that they threw at the court yesterday. So the prosecution gets a chance to respond. And they haven't done that yet. And what he'll do is he'll wait to see what the verdict is. And if Rittenhouse is acquitted, there's no sense taking up the fight over a mistrial because it would be moot.
And this is about this drone video footage which surfaced during the trial itself. And the defense yesterday said, Your Honor, we didn't manipulate the video. If you go back and watch the video of the trial itself, this trial, you'll see when somebody walked in and handed it to us. We didn't have time to manipulate it. And eventually, well, you can talk about the chain of command. I mean, the defense is saying,
right.
I was describing what the prosecution was saying.
This person shows up during the trial at the district attorney's office and says he has this video that everybody knew existed because it had been played on Fox News right after the shooting. And they got the video from the person via an airdrop from the person to a detective. The detective then came up to the courtroom and asked the defense, how do you want this delivered? And the defense attorney had an Android phone, so they couldn't airdrop. So she said, just send it to me via email. And it is, you know, I think most of us already know, but apparently none of the attorneys in the courtroom or the judge know, when you email something, especially on an Apple phone using the mail app on your iPhone, it compresses the video so it can send it more easily. And that is apparently what happened here. They sent an 11 megabyte file that ended up in the inbox of the defense attorney as a 4 megabyte video. And the defense, you know, says that should be a mistrial because they said they would have planned their defense differently if they had known the quality of the video.
Well, that's interesting. When you say 11 megabytes to 4 megabytes, I know the process that you're talking about. I suppose most of our listeners do. Did it cut off some of the video or just the compression reduces it from 11 to 4?
Right. The
video appeared.
Well, first they claimed that it cut off some of the video. It did not. It did, however, send a lower resolution video to the defense. And, you know, this video is key to the prosecution's provocation case, which is that they claim the video shows Kyle Rittenhouse pointing his gun at a bystander right before the shooting incident begins. And prosecutors say that's what started this whole thing.
Was that video shown to the jury?
The video was shown to the jury, and the defense saw the video, you know, played in court in the high definition. So it wasn't like they didn't see it when it played in court.
No, but the complaint by the defense is, though, we would have better anticipated and planned. I mean, you know, regardless of how effective it is or not, it's just a rule that you have to share your evidence with the other side, presumably in a similar capacity as the other side had, so that they can prepare a fair defense. But it does appear...
They didn't realize it was a different resolution until after the evidence had closed in the case. They had watched it in court, the same as the rest of us, the same as the jury, and didn't realize the resolution was different.
Well, I'm just wondering about the chain of command. That is, I did see what the prosecution said about this. They said, we didn't do anything. We can't be responsible for the Android phones of the defense. And if they got it in a compressed format, how is that our problem to fix? We didn't do anything at all.
Right. I mean, at the heart of this case are six very, very smart attorneys who could not get a job working for the Geek Squad. They don't understand.
Oh my gosh, technology. That is so true. And a judge who I'm surprised he doesn't have a ladybug phone. I mean, his admission that he does not understand some of these concepts, however honest, I think would be best kept to himself, particularly since I think he's making decisions or saying things that really aren't all that relevant, like the pinch and grab thing, or the pinch is that the function that they got into a fight
about? The pinch and zoom.
Zoom, yeah.
I think he's trying to be honest about what he doesn't understand, and he's concerned that his lack of understanding of technology could somehow harm the defendant's right to a fair trial. And I think the defense knows that. And I think that's why the defense keeps talking about technology with the judge.
Well, it would also seem to me, if the jury convicts Kyle on any of these counts, at any level on these counts, it won't be because they got handed a short deck here. I mean, they've done a terrific job, and the judge has demonstrated real sympathy for their side, at least procedurally. So I don't. You watch this trial. I don't think you would conclude that this has been unfair to Kyle. My goodness, I think it's been fair, but I don't think it has been if it's unfair to anybody, it's not to Kyle Rittenhouse.
Right. Well, I mean, the whole point of our justice system is to give the defendant, you know, a fair trial. So that is what the judge's like mission has been in this. And I think sometimes it's been overanalyzed or taken the wrong way. I mean, the judge's whole approach has been he's not going to have any decision that could become a reversible error should there be a conviction. And so that's the great thing when you get a fair trial, but it's also the bad thing when you get a fair trial because there's not a lot to appeal on.
But it also needs to be...
They'll find stuff to appeal on, don't get me wrong, but it's a little bit harder when the judge has been...
A trial also needs to be fair, period, because if it skews one way, say to the defense in the name of quote-unquote fairness, that's not fair to the state. The victims' families deserve justice. The whole state deserves justice. So you really have to be a square shooter, obviously, in a case like this. But leaning into the prosecution to help Kyle get a fair defense strikes me as being entirely inappropriate. All the time I guess I have now. But, hey, Stacey, when is the jury going to come back?
I have no idea. I told my husband I was going to be home on Tuesday, so I have no idea.
I'll talk to you again, and we'll read you in the Tribune. Thanks for your time, Stacey.
Thanks, John.